Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
I know we're a small group this morning, but God knows what he's doing. And I have to tell you that I woke up with a lot in my spirit today. A lot is not in my notes, and for those of you who know, my mind doesn't always flow well, so bear with me as I hope it, the Holy Spirit just flows through this morning. But I want to start with a testimony of something that's happened that I believe ties in somehow to this message the Lord has given me. But since January, I want to say, I have been struggling with a digestive issue that had gotten so bad, I went to a specialist, which is very unlike me. I don't really go to doctors. I figure it out naturally. And I do have a functional medicine doctor who couldn't figure it out either, and she's like, you really need to go see somebody. It's not good to be this way. So, the whole time, as it ebbed and flowed, with more bad days than good days towards the last couple of months, I would be in my bathroom just, you know, I don't want to give a lot of information, but you don't need that picture. But I would be, Lord, nothing is working. I have tried everything naturally, everything with the doctors, and at that point, nothing was working. I'm like, Lord, you need to do something. You need to heal me. This is not right. You know, and I'm just talking to the Lord about his promises to me for my health. And a couple of things happened. I end up waiting 8 weeks to get in to see a specialist who tells me basically that I'm getting old. I said, I'm not going to agree with that. I am aging naturally, but I refuse to believe that my body is not going to function properly just because I'm getting older. But he prescribed me this drug, which I was ready to take because I was in such agony over the situation. And he told me what I was doing with over-the-counter products would harm me more than help me in the long run. So it ends up, I get into a battle with my insurance company because they don't want to pay for the drug the doctor prescribed. So this whole drama's playing out, even while I'm on vacation. And it ends up that they prescribe another one, and now the insurance is fighting that. My pharmacist is literally calling me trying to work out the situation. But at the same time, I'm praying. And about 2 weeks ago, I get a text message from a very good friend saying, you've been in my mind. I've been praying for you. What's going on? Now, wouldn't y'all think I would say what's going on? But it never even comes to my mind that that is what the Lord is giving her. I'm thinking, well, work is crazy. There's not really anything different than normal, but I always appreciate your prayers. So I see her last week, and in person this time. And she says to me, I don't know, Sue, you're coming to me on a regular basis. What's going on? And so then it pops into my head. Oh my gosh, pray for me. This is what's been going on. The next morning, I woke up and I was healed. I was healed in a dramatic way. That affected me for hours. But every day since, I have not had an issue. And it made me, this morning, I woke up and I thought about how all the believers were gathered together praying for Peter for his release from prison. And when he showed up at the door, they didn't believe it. When she called, texted me and said, I'm getting you in prayer. Never entered my mind to say what was going on physically that I've been praying about. You know, sometimes I think we struggle, or at least I do, I struggle to humble myself enough to share really what's going on. And I believe the Lord was trying to teach me a lesson that I need to be able to be open with the people that he's putting in my life. So this goes to discernment, right? She was receiving something in her prayer about me, and I wasn't discerning that it was what I've been praying about for 6 months, right? So the Lord is teaching me about that, that I need to be aware and awake. And what he really hit me with this morning as I was waking up was, you're going to need to learn to do this more. The whole struggle with the insurance company and the control over medication and procedures is going to get worse. And who is our healer? And who is our provider? And who is our comforter? And I wouldn't say I'm quick to go to the doctors, but I'm quick to try and figure it out on my own. And I think that's where we're going in the message today. I'm quick to try and figure it out on my own instead of saying, okay, Lord, show me what I need to do to make this right. Show me what I need to do so my body will function properly. Show me what I need to do so that this relationship will heal. This applies everywhere. Show me what I need to do so my friend can get out of prison. I don't mean bars prison. I mean in prison, spiritually. Show me what I need to do, Lord. And that's where we are headed, that way in a bigger way. And here in America, I don't think we've ever experienced that before. I've never had an issue where two prescriptions could not get filled because my insurance company doesn't think I need it. Who are you? Better than my doctor? That's what they believe. So, you know, Jesus has to be our healer. He has to be the one we turn to. And then when we turn to him, we have to have our eyes open because the healing may not come in the way we expect or through the people we expect. Or why is it I'm waiting for me to pray for myself and get that healing? I was even thinking I needed someone else to pray for me. But that's the part of submitting one to another, of being in fellowship and being under authority. This is a spiritual leader in my life. And she pegged it. She heard from the Lord. She prayed for me, and I have not been the same, in a good way. So, back when a couple of months ago when I spoke on pruning and bearing good fruit and all of that, you know, the Lord then takes you through that, you know, even up to that point. And then since, the Lord has really been doing a lot of pruning in my life, this instance being one, right? So I don't believe I probably wouldn't have had to have gone through 7 months of that without, if I had been more in tune to what the Lord was trying to do in my life. He was teaching me some lessons. So sometimes we do struggle through stuff to learn some lessons and for him to open our eyes to things. So I am taking that today for the past 7 months. I am taking that lesson and I am rejoicing in the fact that my body's functioning without drugs. Thank you, Lord. But I will play my part in doing the right thing for my body to continue to have it function well. So we all have a part to play in that too, right? We partner with the Lord in being well and healthy. So I was asking the Lord after I spoke that message on pruning, Lord, how it seems like I'm often, and I'm sure you're all in the same place, we're being bombarded from many different directions, whether it be family or work or school or community, society, friends, that maybe don't align with how we believe or what we think. And it makes life a little difficult to fully live out who we are and who we're called to be. You know, Ruth had given me this book, and I read this one line in it the other day, and I just want to bring it up because it ties to this, and it reminds me of our good friend from Bethel. What's his name? Wendy and Steve Backlund. And he says, we can't be non-believing believers, right? And so Eric Metaxas says in his book that God isn't interested in what we claim to believe, but in what we actually believe, and he sees the difference in our lives. We can't hide it from him. We could hide it from other people, but we can't hide it from him. He wants us to be honest with him, to trust him, to help us, but instead we try to justify ourselves. And that's where we get into a mess, when we're not honest with the Lord. I mean, he already knows, so why are we trying to hide it? But we do. We say we believe something, but we live a totally different life. And I'm thinking of someone that I've known for about 5 years now, and he's part of a group that I meet with a couple of times a year. And every time he gets up to present to the group, he talks about how he is a Christian and how, you know, how he loves the Lord, and that's part of his business model. But then he continues on with language we wouldn't expect to hear from someone speak that claims to be a Christian and living a life, because I know what goes on after the meeting, that doesn't line up with a confession that he is a believer. And to me, it's better off you not say it at all. Like, I wouldn't say it at all. I wouldn't get up and announce it. I would prefer people see my life and say, hey, what do you got? How come you can walk through this situation and not be devastated? How is it you're always full of joy? Not that I am, but that's where I'm headed. I want to be there. I'm professing that over my life today, that I am always full of joy. So God is saying to us, it is time. We cannot be living a double life. We can, you know, James talks about being double-minded and our 1 foot in and 1 foot out, that it's not going to, we're never going to survive. We are never going to survive that way. So God showed up a couple of ways over the last couple of months as I was reading and talking to him about this message on the river. And Marissa shared a podcast with me that we were listening to on our drive to Vail from Denver a few weeks ago. And it was Melissa Heisler. I can't remember the name of the message, but if anybody's interested in listening to it, it was pretty powerful. And she was talking about Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And she was talking about how, and I can so relate. Now, I didn't have the visual, but I in my mind, this is what it looked like, and now I've lost my, oh, here it is. That word, that phrase, be still, if we go back to the original Greek in that, or Hebrew, it means, one of the meanings is to slacken. To slacken. And that was what her message was about, because she was saying most of her life is lived like this. Can you relate to that? Yeah. I can relate to this. This is how I lived. I've just cracked my second tooth this year from the stress at night, because this is where I'm living, not where I want to be living. And the Lord started talking to her about that scripture, be still, meaning to slacken. And every time she was in a stressful situation, which one that she shared about was at an airport, which a few of us have been experiencing that of late, with canceled flights and craziness going on, she would just be talking to herself, be slacken. I keep repeating that to myself now too, slacken. And I'm like, Lord, how do I do that? It doesn't work if I just do that. How do I get to that place where no matter what is happening, no matter whether my flight is canceled and I can't get to my vacation for 3 days, or maybe my meeting, I missed half my meeting coming home from Denver because of cancellations. The best part. So I was stressed. I had just listened to the message, but it didn't matter. I was on the phone yelling at United. At 3 a.m. So how do we live in this place? And this is where the message on the river comes in. I'm going to start in Ezekiel 47, I think, because there's so much. But I think this is where I need to start. So I'm going to read through it. It's up on the board. It's about 3 slides. Oh, I'm doing the slides. Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's gone. I'm very bad at this. Maybe you could do that. Ezekiel 47, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 17 150 feet, and then led me across the water. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the deep Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea all the way from En Gedi to..." And I might have taken that part out, did I? "The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty." Let's keep that in mind. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for the food and the leaves for the healing." So this is a prophetic word Ezekiel was speaking. He saw it in a vision. And I believe there's coming a day when we will see this literally manifest in the earth. But for now, we're going to take this as, who is the temple? We are the temple. And there is a river that flows through the temple. There is supposed to be a river that flows through our temple. But we read here, basically, when that river started, it started out, in one of the versions, it says, as a trickle out of the altar. From under the altar came a trickle. But we can't be content with a trickle of his river. We cannot settle for that. But stepping in, as you see, he started at his ankles. At our ankles, we're still standing solid on the ground. And the waters at our ankles, we think about, we were just at the beach, and I'm pretty comfortable just letting my ankles get wet because I can still control what's going to happen to my body when those waves come in, right? And that's similar to what Ezekiel's seeing here in this vision, that when we begin to know the Lord, it is okay to just be in the ankle deep level because we're getting to know who he is and how much he loves us and if we can trust him. But then he measures out further and he goes a little deeper. Now he's up to his knees. We're up to our knees, so maybe we know a little more, but we can still touch the ground, even when we get to our waist, because that's the next level. At the waist, we can actually pretend we are swimming in the water. But in actuality, we still have a foot on the ground. Our feet being planted on the ground is our control. We could still control our circumstances. I can still try and figure out how I can get the medicine. I could still try and figure out how I could fix it naturally. I could still have control over what's going on. But then he says, "Come on out into the deep." And now he's at a level where he can no longer touch the ground. He could only swim. He could only go with the flow of the river. I want to just read something. God uses crazy things to speak to me sometimes. We were with friends when we were out in Vail, a couple that we've met over the years on these conferences that I attend. And her husband, they're my age, her husband is... an avid outdoorsman. She's more like me. She'll tag along if she has to, but she'd rather sit on the beach or by the pool. But he loves to hike and bike and the whitewater rafting, which is where I'm going. So we're in Vail, that's what you do. You hike, you mountain bike, you whitewater raft in the summer. So they booked before we got there, thank you God, because we did go with them one year. But this year, before we got there, they arrived early, they booked a whitewater rafting trip. And he was really devastated because, you know, it's July, and so the rapids were not that rapid. So all he talked about was how he was floating, not really moving, and it was upsetting him. And she's like, come on, we were having a good time relaxing on the water. And it's interesting, the Lord just spoke to me in that moment and said, research whitewater rafting. So I'm going to read to you just bits and pieces that I thought were relevant to our walk with the Lord. The power of the water, the power of water can be intimidating, especially fast-moving white water. I think the power of the Holy Spirit can be intimidating, especially when it's fast-moving and powerful. If you've never experienced it, it can be intimidating. Humans tend to fear what we don't understand, and when we first come to a swiftly flowing river, it appears chaotic and scary because we don't yet understand the flow of the currents. Once we begin to learn and recognize that currents are made up of certain staple features, such as eddies, eddy lines, downstream, none of this is all Greek to me, versus rocks, waves, and hydraulic pathways, it begins to open up amid the chaos. Even the scariest rapids are made up of these staple features. So I'm relating this to our life. Sometimes it's really scary. Sometimes the things that are happening seem like it could be the end. I'm going to die right here because this is going on. And yet, it's all okay when we make it through, but there's only one way to make it through. And here they're talking about having a navigator, having someone who teaches you the way down the river. Do we have a navigator this morning? Yes, we do. A little fearful stepping into that river of the Spirit. What's going to happen to me? How am I going to respond? What are we going to do? I don't know where I'm going. How can I go somewhere I don't know? Lord, do you know what you're doing? I say that all the time. Of course he does, but I have to ask anyway. When first learning, it's normal to misread the water and end up somewhere in the rabbit that isn't that much fun. I've had that happen. I've misread the Spirit. And I've ended up in places where I probably shouldn't have been. But God is so gracious and good that he says, okay, come on, come right back over here. Get back in the river. This is why it's important to learn how to read whitewater on easy rivers first with a qualified whitewater kayak instructor. Going into our knees, going into our waist with our instructor, learning how to read the Spirit, learning how to read the river. Learning how to let it flow through us. The most basic and important feature to look for in the current is the downstream V. Dark or green water fills the middle of the V, and white water forms the edges of the V. The V shows you the deepest and usually the best route to take through a rapid. Current that is dark is deep and usually obstacle-free. White water is formed by water flowing over rocks or debris in the riverbed and indicates obstacles in the river. This doesn't mean that white water equals shallow water. The V shows you the obstacle-free and deepest entrance to the rapid. The V also usually leads into fun and friendly waves. So once we're learning how to read and navigate the Spirit, we're going to be led into places that are fun, adventurous, amazing, supernatural, things we can't even think or imagine. At first, it will be easier to recognize downstream Vs from above, so you want to get out of your kayak and look at them from the shore. Eventually, it'll get easier and easier to see them from your kayak sitting in the water. And I took this as learning from others, observing what people are doing, how they're responding, what happens when the Spirit of the Lord enters the room? How do people respond to that? We learn from watching people. Eventually, it will get easier and easier to see them from your kayak sitting in the water. At times, you'll have to get very close to the top of the rapid before you see the downstream V. If you're approaching a rapid and you're not sure if you can see the V and you're nervous about running the rapid blind, then it's always best to get out and look at it from the shore. To me, right here, this means to us, like I was talking about, submitting one to another, being humble one to another. I don't know it all. If we're know-it-all in the rapid, we're going to get hurt. But if we take a moment and check with our instructor, the navigator, am I headed in the right direction? Am I handling this right? God always, always, always shows us. He has never failed me when I take the time to say, Lord, am I headed in the right direction? Am I doing the right thing here? Am I understanding it right? An eddy is a place in a river where the current flows upstream. This happens when the downstream current flows around an obstacle such as a rock, meets, and is pushed back upstream. Eddies are great places to stop, rest, or get in and out of the river. So my friend is frustrated on the slow river because it wasn't enough action for him. But I would say that God is so good to us that there are rapids that we are going to go through, which are going to be chaotic, messy. Maybe we won't understand them. And I'm talking about life situations. I'm relating it to the rapids here. And then there are going to be days like that day on the river where it's going to be peaceful and slow, and we're going to get to just bask in his glory and not have to work so hard, because there is a part where we have to play in getting through certain things, whether it be spiritual warfare or something he tells us to do. I'm not saying our life is floating down a river. We're not floating. We're in the rapids, people. Occasionally we get a break. And what I also know is that those rivers are seasonal. So there are times of the year, July, when he went, where the rivers are slower. But you go in the spring, and it's all rapids. And I'd say that about our lives. There are seasons where we say, this is just one thing after another. And we think we can't endure. But then we get those seasons where we get to just bask in his glory and grow our spirits. Then there are the rocks. The rocks are an integral part of the river. Does anybody have any rocks? I have lots of rocks. Right. Sometimes rocks are above the current, in which case you can actually avoid them. Remember that you must anticipate when you want to avoid a rock in a kayak, because the current is continually moving you toward the rock. Once you're right at the rock, it's too late to avoid it, so it's important to look ahead and make moves early. The key to avoiding rocks is to look at where you want to go and not at the rock. What? So we have all these rocks popping up all around, right, that we know are going to like, poo, send us flying out of our raft. And the way to avoid them is to look where we want to go. Where do I want to go, Lord? I'm looking there. Yeah, there may be obstacles along the way, but if I'm looking at you, or as Jeremy would say, be like Jesus. If I'm looking at Jesus, those rocks aren't going to destroy me. They might scuff me a bit, but they're not going to destroy me. They're not going to tip me over. I'm not drowning. So I want to say to you that God is calling us out into the deep today. He is calling us individually into deep waters. The time is over now to be wading around in the shallow water. You know, we were just at the beach, and there were some rough waves some days, some to the point where everybody had to get out. So you weren't even allowed in the water. That's how rough the water was that day. And I mean, even if we look at the disciples, they were on rough seas, and Jesus calmed them, right? So as you're wading out into the ocean, I fell on the a wave, knocked me over. I fell. I came home with a scar. Are we going to be scarred in our river? Yeah, I think so. I think there'll be times we're scarred. But those scars should be learning experiences for us, because every time we fall down, the Lord picks us up and propels us forward, as long as we are submitted to him. So being able to go out into the deep requires us to surrender fully, because no longer can you touch the ground. No longer can you have control over your direction. When we say, God, wherever your spirit goes, I will follow, then we have to buckle up and be ready for that adventure. Because giving up the ability to steer ourselves through the chaos of life and allowing God to shift us into position, even if we don't realize what he's doing. Oftentimes God's working and we're just frustrated with the situation, but he's saying, what are you learning? How are you growing? Are you growing in this situation? The last half of Ezekiel that we read speaks about the trees and the marshes and the living things. So this river, if it's flowing through us as God intended, wherever we go, we should be seeing life, not death. As that river, as we are in the river and the river flows through us, we should be seeing living things. It says here that when the river flows into the Dead Sea, it will become alive and things will begin to live in it. When the river flows through our lives, all the dead things should come alive in our life, just like it does, as the scripture says, in the Dead Sea. I've been to the Dead Sea. It's dead. There's nothing in it. It's salt. So much salt that when you go in, you float. You can't even stand up. You float. It's actually kind of gross, but because it's dead. I couldn't wait to get out. But yet, this scripture says that the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. What are the marshes and the swamps? The areas of our life that we do not allow the river to flow. So we have control how far we want to go in. And once we're willing to go in as deep as we can go into the very depths of the river, then that river can flow and make everything alive. But if we stay waist high, knee high, ankle high, there are going to be some marshy, salty areas in our life that God cannot touch. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. The trees that's roots go down into the riverbank, their trees, their crops, their fruit are never going to run dry. And we were talking about how pruning back and growing fruit and having enough fruit that people can eat off of us. Want to give me the next slide? I think I put some. That's our rabbits there. See, they're not sitting back. I mean, they're having fun, but they're working hard, right? Next one, Dave. And there's our still, calm Eddie. They're enjoying. They're understanding the joy of the Lord. We're going to read that. Keep going. So Psalm 46:4, there is a river where the Most High dwells. There is a river. It doesn't say there was a river, there will be a river. It says there is a river. There's a river of God available to us every moment of every day. It's up to us to choose to jump in. And what happens when we jump in? It brings joy. It makes us glad. It makes our cities glad. When communities of people are living in the river, the cities are glad. We can live through the rapids and the rocks and all of that and be glad when we're in the river. In John 7, 38, 39, I think that's the next one. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So how do we be like Jesus? We are like Jesus when we come to him, drink of the water, allow it to flow through us, as it says here, will flow from our hearts. When that's happening, we could be more like Jesus. What water means to thirsty lips and what rain means to parched land is what the Holy Spirit means to us today. Without the Holy Spirit, we are going to be dried up and unable to survive. We are going to need to be living in the river. Jeremiah 17:8, I don't think I have it up there. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Are we so deeply rooted into the nourishment of the river that we never stop producing fruit? I know I'm not. Otherwise, God wouldn't be dealing with me about this, in all honesty. So I take this for myself first. You know, I woke up this morning and the Lord started talking to me about a riverbed. How every river has a riverbed. And so I researched a little bit quickly this morning and I found out that the most fertile soil is at the bottom of the river. Isn't that crazy? The smooth stones, no sharp edges, all at the bottom of the river. Because the current over time has smoothed out all the rough edges. The current of the Spirit in our lives over time smooths out all those rough edges. And it creates the foundation. So he said to me this morning, I heard the Lord say, are you willing to be a riverbed? What? Will I create a foundation for the river of God to flow freely into my family, into my city, into my business? Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to be so immersed in the river of God that I become the riverbed, that I become the funnel for the river of God to flow? Where all my rough edges are smoothed, where I have fertile soil, where my fruit is always good. That's where we're headed. That is where we're headed. Be still and know that I am God. We can be still in the river and know that he is God, and he will take our stressed out, fully extended lives and slacken them. Not that the situation will change, right? Jesus lived in some really crazy, crazy times. But he was never like this. I was looking. He was never like this. He wasn't always happy. He dealt with the issues, but he dealt with them, and he never got like this. So if you remember anything today, slacken, slacken, slacken. Be still and know that I am God. And when you can't slacken, we know it's time to jump in the river. Because in the river of God, all of this goes away. So I think I've said all I need to say today. There is a river, and we should be glad. So let's stand up and pray. I think we're gonna pray this morning. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your river of life, the river that flows from your throne, the river that produces supernatural, amazing things in our lives, is always flowing, Lord. And Lord, we just say today, Lord, that any dam we have built in our life that stops the Spirit from flowing, Lord, we speak to that dam now and we command it to come down in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say, free us up to jump into the river, Lord. Lord, not a partial. Into the places that you've called us to be in this season, God. Lord, we know that we cannot survive without your Spirit, without the ability to slacken, to be still, to know that you are God, even in the midst of the chaos around us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are about the supernatural in this season, Lord. And Lord, we declare today that your river will flow through us and this house and into the streets of this city, O God. We thank you, Lord, that your river is flowing in a mighty, powerful way, O God. Awaken our spirits, Lord, to hear your call, Lord, to jump in both feet, Lord God. We just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we will not be distracted by the rocks, Lord, by the culture, Lord God, by the things of the day that want to pull us away, Lord. And Lord, that we would not be conditioned to hear a good word that makes us feel good, Lord, but that we'd be open to hearing your truth, God, to knowing your truth, that we would be believing believers, oh God, that people will see us and the river of life running through us and our families and say, this is what we need. We thank you, Lord, that even, Lord, where death may abound, that we can have life, supernatural life, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for how you are with us in this house. We thank you, Lord, for your truth of your word, Lord God, that keeps us going in the right direction. We thank you, Father. We give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, and we ask that you be with each one this week. In Jesus' name, amen.